Volume 46, Number 1 of the Friend Magazine for July 2016. Contents. Stories and Features from the First Presidency, A Priceless Heritage by President Henry B. Eyring. Many Missionaries. Family Night Fun. The Duck's New Clothes. Abraham, Abraham, and Me. Answers from an Apostle, Elder M. Russell Ballard. Friends Who Stand Tall, Friends and Faith. Ryan, the Unstoppable Reader. Bulletin Board. Book of Mormon Hero, Captain Moroni Was Brave. I Can Read the Book of Mormon. Friend to Friend, Picking Blackberries. Elder Kevin S. Hamilton. No Matter Who You Are. Show and Tell. Question Corner. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. Music, When I Hear of Pioneer Children, for older kids. Clarence versus the Champion, Want to Come to Church? Things to Make and Do, including Fun Stuff, A Holy Place, Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture, Your Path to Heavenly Father, My Path to Heavenly Father Cards, Happy Sabbath, A Beautiful World, Fun Stuff, Pioneer Puzzlers. Friend Junior, for Parents of Little Ones, Bright Idea Poster, Lemonade for Grandpa, A Happy Sharing Day, Book of Mormon Stories, Captain Moroni's Flag, Coloring Page, and Forever Brothers. End of Contents.
Friends by Mail. Friend and Family. I read The Friend every day because I love to read it a lot and it makes me feel the spirit. I use The Friend almost every time it's my turn to do a lesson in family home evening. It helps my family feel the spirit. Shayla, J.H.A., Utah, USA.
Rowdy to Reverent. I really like the story, Rowdy to Reverent, July 2015. It was interesting how Larry helped Brennan to be reverent by being reverent himself. I love how it teaches me to be a good example to others. Bryant S., age 11, Arizona, USA.
Scripture Figures. Thank you for the Scripture Figure puppets. We have enjoyed making them and now have a large collection. It makes learning the Scripture stories fun. Peter and Curtis B., ages 5 and 3, Utah, USA. Find Scripture Figures at lessonhelps.lds.org under By Category.
How we read The Friend. We like to read The Friend in the bike trailer together while our grandparents pull us on their bicycle built for two. And me and Ian A., both age 3, Georgia, USA.
Dear friends, family stories can be funny, surprising, and inspiring. This month you can read a hilarious story about ducks, page 8, and a great story about an athlete who had help from God in an important race, page 34. These are both family stories from the authors. How can you gather and share your family stories? Love, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of Friends by Mail, read by Margot Patello, Gabe Reinwan, Shannon Nelson, Scott Moore, and Ethan Nelson.
From the First Presidency, A Priceless Heritage, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. I owe much of my happiness to a man I have never met. He was one of my great-grandparents. He left me a priceless heritage of hope. Heritage meaning something passed down to the next generations. His name was Heinrich Eyring. He was born into a wealthy family in Germany, but both of his parents died when he was young. He was left without any money. He felt that his best hope was in going to the United States. He moved to Missouri. There he worked with a man who was a Latter-day Saint. He gave Heinrich a copy of a church pamphlet. Heinrich read it and studied every word he could find about the Latter-day Saints. He prayed to know if there really were angels that appeared to men, whether there was a living prophet, and whether he had found a true religion. After 2 months of careful study and prayer, Heinrich was told in a dream that he should be baptized. On March 11, 1855, Heinrich was baptized in a pool of rainwater. Heinrich left a written history for his descendants. Descendants meaning children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. In that history, I can feel his love for those of us who would follow. I feel his hope that his descendants might choose to follow him on the path back to our heavenly home. He knew it would not be one choice to make, but many small choices. Like my ancestor Heinrich, you may be the first in your family to make sacred covenants. We are all children of a living God. Jesus of Nazareth is his beloved Son, and this is his church. It has the keys of the priesthood, and so families can be forever. This is our priceless heritage of hope. Adapted from A Priceless Heritage of Hope, Ensign, May 2014, pages 22 through 25. Pioneers then, pioneers now. Heinrich was a pioneer in President Irene's family. Who are the pioneers in your family? Look at the pictures below. One shows a pioneer family in the early days of the church. The other shows a pioneer family today. What is the same about both pictures? What is different? I can be a pioneer by setting a good example for others to follow. End of the article from the First Presidency, A Priceless Heritage, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Answers from an Apostle. How are missionaries called? From Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. First, your bishop and stake president interview you. Next, one of the 12 apostles sees your picture and information about you on a computer screen. They look into your eyes. Then, by the power of the Spirit of the Lord, they assign you to one of the church's 409 missions. From The Greatest Generation of Young Adults, Ensign, May 2015, pages 67 through 70.
Meet Elder M. Russell Ballard. He is the only boy in his family. He has three sisters. He worked for his father's car dealership in the early 1950s and was the top salesperson. He served in the United States Army Reserve and became a first lieutenant. On his mission in England, he and his companions held meetings in marketplaces or town squares. They set up a stand, sang hymns, and shared their testimonies. He met his wife, Barbara Bowen, at a dance in college. What is an apostle? When Jesus was on the earth, he called 12 men to be his special helpers and witnesses. They were called apostles. He has called apostles to be his special helpers and witnesses today. They testify of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Elder Ballard is an apostle. Watch videos about the apostles at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and meet the apostles.
End of the section, Answers from an Apostle. How are missionaries called? Read by Scott Moore and Van Farnworth.
Many Missionaries by Elizabeth Child, based on a true story. I want to be a missionary now. I don't want to wait until I'm grown. Children's Songbook, 168. Early one morning, Sam and Lindsay climbed out of their beds and walked to the kitchen. They saw a sign with bright blue letters hanging over the doorway.
Mini MTC,
Lindsay read.
What's MTC?
Sam asked. Just then, Mom walked into the kitchen.
Good morning, and welcome to the Missionary Training Center. You get to be missionaries today.
She handed Lindsay a piece of paper.
Here is your schedule.
Lindsay read the first line.
Prayer and scripture study.
Sam and Lindsay got their scriptures and sat with Mom. Sam said a prayer. Then they read Mark chapter 16, verse 15 together.
And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
What do you think that means?
Mom asked.
Jesus wants us to serve the gospel with everyone,
Lindsay said. After scripture study, Lindsay read the next line on their schedule.
Language study.
Mom handed them some sticky notes.
Sometimes missionaries learn new languages. Let's write Spanish words on sticky notes and label things we see.
Sam looked around the kitchen.
How do you say milk in Spanish?
Leche,
Mom said. She wrote it on a sticky note and handed it to Sam. Sam stuck it onto the milk carton.
Leche,
he repeated. Soon, Spanish words dotted the kitchen. For breakfast, they ate panqueques, pancakes, and fresas, strawberries. Next on their schedule was...
Get ready for the day.
We should wear missionary clothes,
Sam said. He ran to put on a white shirt and tie, and Lindsay picked out a purple dress. Sam smiled proudly as Mom pinned a homemade black name tag to his shirt.
Now what?
Missionary service.
Lindsay frowned.
Who can we serve?
Well, Mrs. Mason just had surgery. How do you think we could serve her?
Let's take her lunch and see what we can do to help.
As they walked to Mrs. Mason's house, Lindsay saw the drooping flowers in her yard.
I can water her plants.
I can feed her cat,
said Sam. Lindsay and Sam watered the plants and fed the cat while Mom chatted with Mrs. Mason. When they finished, Sam and Lindsay shook Mrs. Mason's hand.
Is there anything else we can do?
Well, Mrs. Mason said, I could use some cheering up. Do you know any happy songs?
Sam and Lindsay sang their favorite primary song.
I am a child of God, and He has sent me here.
When they finished, Sam and Lindsay saw tears in Mrs. Mason's eyes.
I've never heard that song. It was beautiful. Thank you for everything, especially the song.
Sam and Lindsay were quiet as they walked home.
You've been real missionaries today. You prepared yourself, you served, and you taught the gospel, just like missionaries.
When did we teach the gospel?
When you sang, you shared your testimony that we are children of God. I think that's just what Mrs. Mason needed to hear.
Do missionaries always feel this good? If they do, I am going to be a missionary every day.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. I wanted to invite some friends to Cub Scouts because I knew that they would have a really good time. We all went to Scouts together and had a good time. All of my friends said they wanted to come again. I felt good inside for inviting them. Spencer P., age 10, Arizona, USA.
End of the story, Many Missionaries, read by Shauna Thompson, Chloe and Enzo Patello, Matthew Moore, Kristen Hawkins, and Jane Wise.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Mini MTC. Read Mini Missionaries on page 4. You can create your own missionary training center. Just like Sam and Lindsay, here are some ideas. Make your own missionary name badges. Try some things that Sam and Lindsay did, like language study or service. Make your own daily planners like missionaries use, then follow the schedule. Create a family mission plan. Talk about how your family can share the gospel. Invite the missionaries over for dinner. Ask how your family can help them. Send a package or letter to a missionary. Tracting trail mixes. Missionaries need to stay healthy so they can help others. Here's a healthy snack to try. Be sure to get an adult's help. Try some of these combinations or invent your own. Peanuts, raisins, and small chocolate candies. Almonds, dried cherries, chocolate chips, sea salt, and cinnamon. Macadamia nuts, white chocolate chips, dried pineapple, and coconut flakes. Banana chips, peanut butter chips, peanuts, cashews, and chocolate chips. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. Friendship first. When you show love and friendship, you're also being a missionary. Try these to be a missionary and a friend. Smile at someone. Sit by someone new at lunch or play with someone new at recess. Make a card or treats for a neighbor. Be nice to your family. Treat others the way Jesus would. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Read The Duck's New Clothes and ask a grandparent to share a childhood story. What are some of your favorite family stories? Idea 2. Read Clarence versus the Champion. How have you been blessed by keeping the word of wisdom? Help make a healthy meal or snack for your family to enjoy. Idea 3. This life is our time to learn and grow from our experiences. Play the game Your Path to Heavenly Father and talk about what you have learned. Tasty treats. Try these for FHE this month. Drizzle orange slices with honey and sprinkle with cinnamon. Top tomato or zucchini slices with salt, pepper, and cheese. Broil until cheese is bubbly. Put blended fruit or fruit juice in small cups and put a Kraft stick in the middle. Put in the freezer until frozen. End of Family Night Fun, read by Kristen Hawkins.
The Duck's New Clothes by Lenore F. Frodsham, based on a story from the author's family. The poor ducks. Anne didn't want them to get cold. The hearts of the children turned to their fathers. Malachi prophesied the hearts shall turn. It took Anne and Walter Hewish a long time and a lot of determination to make it to the Salt Lake Valley. Their pioneer journey started in England, where the missionaries taught and baptized them. But Walter and Anne wanted to live close to other members of the church. They decided to leave their home in England and sail across the ocean to America. Their voyage took 50 days. Next, they had to take a boat up the Mississippi River. They stopped in St. Louis, where Walter worked hard to earn money for the trek to Salt Lake Valley. He worked for many years so they could have money to make the trip. Finally, they were able to travel the final 1,300 miles, 2,090 kilometers, across the plains. At last, their trek was over. Walter and Anne settled down in the small town of Payson, Utah. Lots of other church members lived there, and Walter and Anne were excited to raise their family there. They built a home and started a shop to build machines and furniture. Walter took care of the shop. Anne took care of their home and a flock of ducks. She was very proud of her ducks. One day, when she went out to hang some clothes out to dry, she saw something very shocking. Her ducks were all lying still on the ground. The poor ducks! Anne was so sad that her precious ducks had died. She sat down to think about what to do. Then she went to find a large flour sack. She knew that the ducks' feathers would be good for making beds, pillows, and quilts. Anne sadly plucked the feathers off the ducks. Then she took the big bag of feathers inside, leaving the ducks lying peacefully on the ground. That evening, Walter came home from his shop. He looked confused.
What happened to the ducks? Why are they running around without their feathers?
Anne rushed outside. She was so surprised to see her featherless ducks running about in confusion. Looking around, Anne noticed a large patch of brightly colored wildflowers nearby. The ducks had eaten the flowers, and the flowers made the ducks go to sleep. They had slept peacefully while Anne had plucked out their feathers. Anne didn't want her ducks to get cold, so she went right to work knitting a sweater for each one of them. The ducks' sweaters kept them warm until their feathers grew back. But until then, they were the finest and best-dressed ducks in town. The author lives in Utah, USA. Save your family's stories. What's a fun family story? Write or record the story. Share it with your family. Add it to FamilySearch.org.
End of the story, The Duck's New Clothes, by Lenore F. Frodsham. Read by Maya Reinwand and Dason Hawkins.
Abraham, Abraham, and Me. A True Story Written by You. By James B., age 12, Utah, USA. One Friday night, I went to do temple baptisms for the first time. I thought the temple would be a spotless place where I could feel the Spirit. I was not disappointed. When I first arrived, I saw my papa, Skip. He was working in the baptistry that night. He was dressed all in white, white tie, white jacket, white everything. I was going to be baptized for a special ancestor with a fun name. His name was Abraham Abraham. I had never heard of anyone who had the same first and last names. I felt really good when I was baptized for him. I felt like he was happy to finally have a chance to be a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Before I was confirmed for Abraham Abraham, Papa Skip talked to me about the importance of being part of the church. Temples provide opportunities for all of God's children to become members of His church. When we are confirmed, we receive one of the best gifts in the whole world. When we are worthy, we get to have the Spirit with us. This means when we have choices to make, we should listen for the Spirit to help us make wise choices. It means I must listen for the Spirit to lead me instead of letting the world lead me. I want to live my life so that someday I will get to shake Abraham Abraham's hand and tell him how happy it made me to help him become a member of the church. When I left the temple, my mom asked me my thoughts about the temple. I said, "It was a great experience, and I want to go back again." End of the story, Abraham, Abraham, and Me. Read by Ethan Nelson.
Fun stuff, a holy place. Within my walls, the promises you make will always hold. A family that's forever is worth much more than gold. What am I? End of the section, Fun Stuff, A Holy Place. Read by Chloe Patello.
Friends Who Stand Tall, Friends and Faith, from an interview by Melissa Hart.
Hi, I'm Ivana. I live in Bogota, Colombia, and I stand tall by sharing the gospel with my friends and family. I go to a Catholic school for girls. Some of my beliefs are different than those of my classmates and teachers, but they respect me, and I respect them. They are curious about my religion, and I get to share it with them. A teacher asked me if we believed the same things as Catholics. I told her that we believe in Jesus Christ. I also talked about the Book of Mormon, the Bible, and the Doctrine and Covenants. My dad isn't a member of the church, but he often comes to the activities. I tease him that he is a Catholic Mormon. We visit Salt Lake City for General Conference, and I heard President Monson speak. His words are so beautiful, and they teach about the gospel. I invited one school friend to come to my baptism, and she did. I'm glad I got to share that experience with her. The Bogota, Colombia temple is beautiful. I want to go inside someday so I can learn more about the gospel. My friend Laura came with me when I visited the temple grounds.
Ivana's tips for standing tall.
Smile and share stories from the church and scriptures with others. Attend church meetings every Sunday. Have family home evening. Try to read the scriptures every day. End of the section, Friends Who Stand Tall, read by Tess Hawkins and Maya Reinwald.
Ryan the Unstoppable Reader, by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13.
3 weeks until summer break, Ryan,
my friend Logan said after recess.
I can't wait to swim and hike.
Me too, I said. I walked into the classroom smiling, but then I saw the chairs set in circles. That meant reading groups.
Everyone get into your groups,
Mr. Carson said.
Blue group, Mrs. Bush is waiting for you in room 205.
I trudged to my desk and grabbed my book. Most of my classmates had been able to read this book years ago. Everyone knew the Blue Group was for kids who couldn't read well. I'd been part of it since kindergarten. That was when I found out I had a learning disability. My mom says it means my brain just understands things differently. It's not fair, I thought as I walked to room 205. I held the book to my chest so no one would see it was for little kids. I hated being different. I worked twice as hard as any of my friends, but I was still one of the worst readers in the whole grade. After an hour of reading, Mrs. Bush said we were done.
Good work,
she told us.
I know reading is hard, and it would be easy to give up, but keep working at it. You can improve, and don't forget your summer reading packet.
I took the packet and walked back to my classroom. Every summer I got a reading packet with stories to read out loud, questions to answer, and other things to help me with my reading. None of my friends had homework over the summer, but I really wanted to be able to read, so the extra work was worth it. At least I'll still have some time to play this summer, I thought. But when Mom picked me up from school, she had some news.
I just learned about a new computer program that can help you read better,
she said as I got into the car.
It will help your brain make better connections.
That sounds cool, I said.
You'll need to work on it for a few hours every day.
More homework over the summer? Part of me wanted to just quit trying, but an even bigger part of me knew I really wanted to read better. And that would take a lot of work. I took a deep breath. Okay, I'll do it. It was a long, hard summer. I spent most of my time working on my reading exercises or the computer program, and I prayed every day for Heavenly Father's help. When school started again, I tried my hardest to follow along with the class reading. I was still pretty slow, but I could do it. Soon my teacher asked to talk to me at lunch. That made me nervous. What would she say?
Ryan, I've seen you reading along with the class this week. I know how hard you worked this summer,
Mrs. Anderson said.
I'm going to put you in a higher reading group.
Really? I said. She nodded.
You'll have to work a little harder than some of the other kids and promise to read every single day, but I think you can do this. Are you up for the challenge?
Yes, I said. I walked out to lunch feeling happy and strong. My hard work during the summer had helped me, and Heavenly Father had answered my prayers. I knew I could keep working hard, and I knew Heavenly Father would keep helping me.
Sidebar. My biggest challenge is that I have anxiety, which means worrying about the things that are not a big deal. I pray about it, and my daddy gives me priesthood blessings. I still have anxiety, but I know that my Heavenly Father has helped me because it has gotten better. KL, age 7, Washington, USA.
End of the story, Ryan the Unstoppable Reader. Read by Wes Nelson, Enzo Patello, Shauna Thompson, Kristen Hawkins, Natalie Moore, Margot Patello, and Ethan Nelson.
Fun stuff. Hidden picture. Look, another one. This family is trying to find as many different birds as possible today. Can you help them find all 13? End of Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Bulletin Board. Play Fuji. Have you met Ivana on page 14? In Colombia, where she lives, people often play a game called Fuji. The rules are simple. Pass the Fuji to each other using only your feet. To try this at home, you could use a hacky sack, small ball, or balloon. What tricks can you do without letting the Fuji touch the ground? God gives us good food. This vegetable might look like a Fuji, but it is for eating, not kicking. This is a Brussels sprout, probably named after the city in Belgium where it might have first grown. 3 years ago, scientists used a special battery powered by 1,000 Brussels sprouts to light a Christmas tree in London. Temple Connection. This is a picture of the temple in Bogota, Colombia. It took 15 years to finish. Ivana said she likes walking around the temple grounds and looking at the beautiful plants there. What is special to you about the temple?
Maybe you could help your family plan a temple trip soon. Cyber Strong. If I receive mean messages online, I will tell a trusted adult right away. Ask your family, what's something you've learned from the scriptures lately? End of the section bulletin board for July 2016, read by Charlene Stewart.
Book of Mormon Hero. Captain Moroni was brave. Captain Moroni led the Nephite army. He loved to obey Heavenly Father. He helped the Nephite soldiers defend themselves against the Lamanites. He reminded them of Heavenly Father's blessings. He reminded them of their freedom and their family so they could be brave. I can be brave. Memorize Alma 48:11-12. Read verse 17 too. Help someone who is worried or scared be brave. Share your testimony with them. Watch chapters 31-33 and 35 of the Book of Mormon Stories at children.lds.org. I challenge myself to...
A lot of children at school use language that makes me uncomfortable. My mom and I said a prayer to ask for courage and to know the best thing to do. The next day, when they started to use that language, I politely said, "Please stop using those words. It makes me feel uncomfortable." They said, "Okay, sorry." That made me feel happy inside, and I was glad I learned that Heavenly Father will help me when I ask for help. Bella T., age 10, Virginia, USA.
The Title of Liberty. Moroni led the Nephites into a war against the Lamanites to defend their homes and their families. Captain Moroni made a title of liberty out of his coat. He wrote a special message to remind the Nephites what they were fighting for, in memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children, Alma 42, verse 12. Read more about it on page FJ4, and look for another reading challenge next month. Print more copies at friend2016bom.lds.org. End of the article, Book of Mormon Hero, Captain Moroni Was Brave, read by Enzo Patello, Tess Hawkins, and Matthew Moore.
Friend to Friend, Picking Blackberries, from an interview with Elder Kevin S. Hamilton of the 70, by Mikkel George. Be diligent, that thereby you might win the prize. Mosiah chapter 4, verse 27. My dad was an apple grower in Washington, USA, and so were my grandparents. There were all kinds of jobs to do, so I learned how to work when I was young. My grandmother lived on a hill surrounded by apple trees. At the bottom of the hill, there were blackberry bushes. In the summertime, the bushes were full of ripe berries. My grandmother would give my younger brothers and sisters and me each a plastic bucket. She'd tell us to come back with buckets full of blackberries. Then she made jam and syrup and all kinds of yummy things. It was hot, and blackberry bushes have lots of thorns. And worst of all, there were snakes. We used every excuse we could think of to not pick blackberries. But I was the oldest, so I had to be a good example. Even though it was hard, we worked. It seemed to take forever to fill up our buckets. We got distracted, we watched for snakes, we ate a bunch of berries. When our buckets were finally full, we took them back up to my grandmother. Then we could play for the rest of the day. At dinner that night, my grandmother always served a blackberry cobbler or pie. It was delicious. We ate it hot, out of the oven, with a scoop of ice cream. We learned a couple of things from our summers picking blackberries. First, everybody worked. Everyone in the family, no matter how small, could help in some way. Second, we learned that if we wanted to enjoy the blackberry pie, we had to do the work. Years later, as a young missionary, I learned how important work is. Heavenly Father blesses us when we put in effort. If we work hard and keep the commandments, we will be blessed. Sidebar: Can work be fun? secretly do your chores without getting caught. Learn a fun new skill or read a good book that seems a little hard. Help with yard work or tidy a room. Set a timer and make it a race. Help make dinner and do the dishes afterward. Pretend your kitchen is a restaurant. What other ideas do you have? End of the section, Friend to Friend, Picking Blackberries, from an interview with Elder Kevin S. Hamilton of the 70, read by Van Farnworth.
No Matter Who You Are, by Linda Davies, Church Magazines, based on a true story. What's going to happen since I'm not sealed to my family? I am a child of God, and He has sent me here. Children's Songbook, page 2.
Just right,
Andy thought, as she quickly looked in the mirror. She was wearing her favorite red dress. She always wanted to look her best on Sundays. She ran down to breakfast. Andy was just finishing her last piece of toast when the reader's car horn honked from the driveway.
Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad,
Andy said, kissing them as she ran out the door. Even though Mom and Dad weren't members of the church, they encouraged Andy to go to church each week. The Reeder family had given her a ride almost every Sunday since she was baptized and confirmed. Andy liked how they always made her feel so welcome and loved. After sacrament meeting, it was time for primary. Andy loved being in Brother and Sister Long's class. They were kind, and their lessons were always the best.
Today we're going to talk about temples,
Sister Long said.
What are some things we know about temples?
Andy knew one answer.
We can do temple baptisms.
She was excited about that because in a few years, she would be able to go to the temple to do baptisms.
Great, Andy. What else do we know?
You can be married in the temple,
said Andy's friend Allison.
Very good. Anything else?
Families can be together forever when they're sealed in the temple,
Allison added.
But not my family,
thought Andy.
Mom and Dad haven't been sealed in the temple.
Suddenly, her face felt hot and her eyes began to sting with tears.
Are you okay, Andy?
Yes,
Andy said, trying to hold back the tears, but she could feel her heart pounding all through the rest of the lesson. When class was over, Sister Long sat by Andy and put an arm around her.
What's the matter?
I won't be with my mom and dad forever. They haven't been married in the temple. Who will I belong to after I die? Does Heavenly Father still love me, even if my parents aren't members?
Sister Long looked straight into Andy's eyes.
No matter who you are, and no matter if your family has been to the temple or not, you are still part of Heavenly Father's family. You can stay close to Him and be an example to others. He will always love, guide, and protect you no matter what. He wants to bless you and your family. You are a child of God, Andy.
Just then, Andy's heart seemed to skip a beat, and the pounding stopped. Now a warm feeling filled her heart instead. She knew what her teacher had said was true. Andy's tips.
Sometimes I'm sad my family doesn't come to church. Here's what I do to feel better. Say a prayer. Ask my family to do something together after church, like go on a walk. Be a good example by living the gospel. Remember all the good things about my family. Do something fun, like draw, make cookies, or sing a song.
End of the story. No Matter Who You Are, by Linda Davies, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Read by Charlene Stewart, Maya Reinwand, Chloe Patello, and Shauna Thompson.
Show and Tell. October 31st, 2012 was a special day because I was sealed to my parents in the Cebu, Philippines Temple. Anika V, age 6, Philippines.
Primary children from the Kirtland Ward, Kirtland, Ohio, State, USA, marched in the City of Kirtland Strawberry Festival. They showed photos from ward members' ancestors on their family tree. They also handed out almost 900 pass-along cards.
For my birthday, my dad took my brother and me to a reptile park. We saw alligators and crocodiles. After, we watched President Boyd K. Packer's talk on spiritual crocodiles. We need to listen to our parents and our prophets so that we can be prepared against our own spiritual crocodiles. Jacob P., age 7, Colorado, USA.
I was excited to be at a baseball game and really wanted to catch a ball. A player hit one over the fence and I caught it. Another boy was crying. I gave him the ball and it felt good. This is what Heavenly Father would want me to do. Fisk J., age 7, Wyoming, USA.
For our grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary, we went to the open house for the Indianapolis, Indiana Temple with 37 members of our family. The first member of the church in Indianapolis was our great-great-grandma. We felt the spirit that day in the temple. Clay and Madeline G., ages 7 and 10, Indiana, USA.
The Sault Ste. Marie First Ward Primary, Ontario State, Canada, has set a goal this year to memorize one scripture a month to go along with the primary theme, I Know the Scriptures Are True. They each have their own set of scriptures.
I was excited on my baptism day to wear my tupinu, hold my tongue on Book of Mormon, and wear my dad's missionary name tag. Tristan L., age 8, Washington, USA.
Birds and me. Birds have legs, birds can walk. I have legs, I can walk. Birds have wings, birds can fly. I don't have wings, I can't fly. But I have arms to reach the sky. Linnea H., age 8, Ohio, USA.
Standing tall footprints. Ezekiel F., age 5, Oklahoma, USA, said, "When my friends were fighting at recess, I asked them both to stop. It made me feel good." Caitlin B., age 9, Hampshire, England. "I can be helpful and good in the house." Alexia C., age 10, Utah, USA, said, "I can stand tall by choosing good video games." Marcus M., age 4, Alaska, USA, said, "I heard a bad word on the radio. I asked my mom to change the station." Des Moines B., age 9, Indiana, USA, said, "I chose the right by helping others that are in need. I do this because I am righteous." Kyla F., age 7, Oklahoma, USA, says, "I like to share the gospel with my classmates. I'm excited to tell them about my baptism." Thomas B., age 3, Hampshire, England, says, "I will give my mommy lots of big hugs to show her I love her." Danny C., age 8, Utah, USA, says, "I can stand tall by setting a good example at school and church." Send us your footprint. See how on page 39.
Other contributors to show and tell. Monique M., age 10, Puebla, Mexico. Anne, Spencer, Lucy, and Emily D., ages 7, 11, 5, and 13, Utah, USA. M. Marston W., age 8, Colorado, USA. End of this month's Show and Tell.
Happy Sabbath, a beautiful world. Do this activity with your family. Can you finish this line from a primary song? I'm glad that I live in this beautiful world, Heavenly Father. Children's Songbook, page 228. On Sunday, take time to think about your favorite things in nature. Copy the page below for each member of your family. Then go on a walk together. Find a place where everyone can stop to fill in their booklets. Afterward, share what you learned with each other. Can you find a scripture that talks about God's creations? Visit friend.lds.org during July to watch a Through Your Eyes video. Send us your photos of Heavenly Father's creations. End of the activity, A Beautiful World. Read by Rena Nelson.
Question Corner. When my mom and dad argue, I feel very worried and sad. What can I do?
You can say a prayer to help your mom and dad get over their problem and hum some church songs to make you feel better. Addison S., age 10, Washington, USA.
My siblings and I go to our rooms and listen to the Tabernacle Choir. This has helped us feel peace. Ben M., age 11, Brisbane, Australia.
To make them happy, I would tell them funny jokes and tell them how school is. When they start laughing, I feel the Holy Ghost telling me I did the right thing. Elena M., age 12, California, USA.
I would give them hugs and sing them a primary song to remind them of Jesus.
Make your parents feel better by drawing a picture of your family in heaven. Max and Gabe C., ages 6 and 10, Kochi, India.
I would pray to Heavenly Father and ask Him to help my parents when they argue so they can feel the Spirit and solve their problems. Ethan M., age 11, California, USA.
Hayden H., age 6, Alberta, Canada, wrote in, "You can pray to Heavenly Father. That always makes me feel better."
Next question. How do I know when I'm old enough to start fasting? Send us your answer and photo by July 31st. Email us at friend@ldschurch.org with question corner in the subject line. Use the permission statement on page 39. Read more question corner answers at friendqc.lds.org.
End of Question Corner for July 2016. Read by Salem Tullis, Matthew and Scott Moore, Maya Reinwand, Asher Hawkins, Enzo Patello, and Ethan Nelson.
Music. When I Hear of Pioneer Children. Words and music by Janice Cap Perry. When I hear of pioneer children, of trials and courage and faith, I want to be willing, as they were, to look to the Lord for my strength. I'll follow the prophets as they did, for I want to build Zion too. And I will have faith to do hard things when that's what He needs me to do. When I hear of pioneer children, I want to be strong for my day. I'll try to keep all the commandments and be a true Latter-day Saint. I'll stand as a shining example that others who follow will see. I'll be like those pioneer children. The Lord is depending on me. Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. End of the section, Music. When I Hear of Pioneer Children. Copyright 2016 by Janice Cat Perry. All rights reserved. This song may be copied for incidental, non-commercial church or home use. This notice must be included on each copy made. Read by Maya Reinwand.
For older kids, Clarence versus the Champion. By Lori Fuller, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Clarence stared out the car window as the harbor came into view. Boats floated in the water in front of colorful houses and shops. Copenhagen, Denmark was a beautiful city, filled with palaces, mansions, and parks. It was not at all like Clarence's hometown in Utah, USA. Clarence could picture the dusty streets where he ran races as a boy. Now he was a member of the United States track team, and tomorrow he would be facing a famous Danish runner in an important race. The car stopped at a small chapel where a church meeting had already started. As Clarence slipped into the back of the meeting, one of the missionaries sitting on the stand recognized him from a news article about tomorrow's race. The branch president asked Clarence to come up and speak. After Clarence told why he was visiting, a boy stood up and raised his hand.
"Do you think you can beat the Danish champion?"
Clarence wasn't sure what to say. The Danish runner did have a better time in the mile that season.
"Of course he can,"
said one of the missionaries before Clarence could answer.
"Because he lives the word of wisdom."
He opened his scriptures to Doctrine and Covenants section 89. He read the promise that those who keep the word of wisdom
shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint.
Clarence saw a long row of boys looking up at him. What could he say? As a child, he had promised to always keep the word of wisdom. But that alone didn't mean he could win this race. Winning also required practice and skill. As Clarence left the meeting, he thought,
"Well, no one from church will be at the race tomorrow anyway.
The next evening, as Clarence was warming up for his race, he looked up and saw the two missionaries with a group of about 17 boys. They had come. As they got closer, one of the missionaries whispered to Clarence,
"If you've ever run fast in your life, you'd better run fast tonight."
Many of the boys weren't members of the church, but had come with their friends to see if the word of wisdom was really true. Clarence was worried. In this race, his best might not be good enough, but he was running for a principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had to win. He had never prayed to win before, but he found an empty room to kneel and pray. He prayed,
"Father in heaven, I know the word of wisdom is true, and I've never broken it. Please bless me with victory in this race."
As he walked out to the starting line, he knew Heavenly Father had heard his prayer. He trusted Heavenly Father's will. The evening was rainy and muddy. As Clarence began the race, it seemed just like many other mile races he had run. The pace was fast, and the Danish champion was ahead. But as Clarence finished the third lap, suddenly he was not tired anymore. He started running faster, and it didn't hurt. Going even a little faster still didn't hurt. He passed the Danish champion and still went faster. As Clarence came around the turn, his coach yelled,
"Slow down! You'll never make the finish line!"
But Clarence knew he could keep running. And when he finished the race, he was more than 50 yards, 46 meters, ahead of the Danish runner. He knew he had won because Heavenly Father had answered his prayer, and because the word of wisdom is true. Clarence's choice. Clarence F. Robison raced in the 1948 Summer Olympics and became a great college track coach. When he was young, he promised his mother he would always keep the word of wisdom. He knew this wouldn't make him win all his races, but he knew that Heavenly Father could help him do his best when he was clean and worthy and faithful.
End of the story. Clarence versus the Champion. Read by Van Farnworth, Ethan and Wes Nelson, Iman Schultz, and Ben Cummins.
Want to come to church? A true story written by you. By Emma Kay, age 10, Missouri, USA. Who knew where a simple question could lead? A few years ago, my younger sister Brooklyn and I visited my aunt and uncle for a couple weeks. We had only been at my aunt's house for a few minutes when my cousin Jenna and her boyfriend, Merrick, burst inside eager to see us. Over the next few weeks, we did many things with Jenna and Merrick. We went swimming together, rode scooters, watched movies, and jumped on Jenna's trampoline. We also played card games together. But my favorite activity was dressing Merrick up in costumes. Merrick was not a member of the church. But since we had become good friends, I decided to invite him to come to church with us. Jenna, Brooklyn, and I were very happy when Merrick said yes. It was a wonderful Sunday being able to see Merrick at church, smiling and listening to talks about eternal families. He wanted to know more about our beliefs and came to church the next week, too. 2 months later, Merrick was baptized. Then he left to join the military. He and Jenna wrote to each other while he was away. After 2 years, Merrick and Jenna were married in the Salt Lake Temple. It was wonderful to see Jenna and Merrick coming out of the temple together. Who would have guessed 2 years ago that an 8-year-old girl asking a simple question could help lead to a temple marriage? Knowing the wonderful happiness that can come from inviting somebody to church has given me courage and excitement to be a young missionary to my friends and neighbors. End of the story, Want to Come to Church? Read by Tess Hawkins.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, Mrs. Cooper is checking her email. She exclaims,
"Oh, wow! It's an email from my second cousin Miranda! We were good friends until her family moved away and we lost touch, but she found me! She lives in Australia now? Has twins Matt's age? And no way! Their names are Max and Mindy!"
Matt and Mandy are very excited.
Wow! Australia!
Max and Mindy? Twins!
Wonder if they have a kangaroo.
Can we email them back?
Do we have more cousins we don't know about? In Japan? Mexico?
Dad interjects.
Hey, there's a good Sunday activity. We'll go online to FamilySearch.org and learn more about our family.
England? Antarctica? Maybe I can learn which came first, the rubber chicken or the rubber egg. What can you learn about your family?
End of Matt and Mandy.
Stop and flip. Through your eyes.
This is a photo of my stream. I am thankful for all creations. Alyssa F., age 7, Maryland, USA.
How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or footprint. Number 1. Fill out the form on page 39 and send it in with your story or artwork. Number 2. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. Number 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. Number 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a few kids are lined up at a paper airplane throwing contest. One boy, who designed his paper airplane like a rocket ship, asks,
Are there bonus points for neutralizing hostile alien forces along the way?
End of the article, Stop and Flip. Read by Salem Tullis, Margot Patello, and Asher Hawkins.
For parents of little ones. Even before your child yanks a toy out of their sibling's hands for the first time, you can begin teaching the concept of sharing. It's normal for children to feel attached to things. Also, very young children don't understand that others have feelings like their own. Empathy develops gradually in the preschool years. You can help your child practice fairness by taking turns. Setting a timer can help. Here are some tips. Let your children start by sharing things they don't care about too much. Then they can see how good sharing feels when they're not too anxious about their toys. Make a treat and invite your children to serve it to each other. Allow your child to put away favorite toys before friends come to play. Anything left out for playtime is fair game, and playtime is no fun for anyone if nothing is left out. Teach by sharing. Lend books to your friends. Share your snacks with your kids. Show how happy it makes you to care about people more than things. When your children are old enough to begin feeling generous too, they'll know how to show it from the way you've shared. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the section for Parents of Little Ones, read by Wes Nelson.
Bright Idea. This month's Bright Idea poster depicts the Savior bending down to help some children collect sticks. The caption reads, Jesus said, love everyone, treat them kindly too. Children's Songbook, page 61. End of this month's Bright Idea poster, read by Tess Hawkins.
Lemonade for Grandpa by Jennifer Maddie. Emily poured the last of the lemonade into her cup and went outside. It was a hot day. Emily was glad she had some cold lemonade. Then she saw Grandpa pushing the lawnmower. He looked hot and tired. Emily really wanted the whole cup of lemonade, but she knew Grandpa would be thirsty. Emily went back inside. She got another cup and poured in half of her lemonade. Then she took it outside to Grandpa. He stopped the lawnmower. They drank their lemonade. Grandpa smiled and said, "Thank you for sharing your lemonade." End of the story, Lemonade for Grandpa. Read by Natalie Moore.
Book of Mormon Stories, Captain Moroni's Flag. Once there was a wicked king. He wanted to rule over the Nephite people. Mormon was the captain of the Nephite army. He was strong, and he loved God. Captain Moroni wanted to protect his people from the wicked king's army. He decided to make a flag for his people. Captain Moroni's flag reminded his people that they should follow God and protect their families. Then they could have peace. End of the story, Book of Mormon Stories, Captain Moroni's Flag, read by Tess Hawkins.
Forever Brothers by Marianne Sorensen Lemon, based on a true story. Marcus sat in the temple with his new family. They were all dressed in white. Now that Marcus was adopted, he was so excited to be sealed to his family. Brother Ray stood up. He was the temple sealer.
This is a big day. Do you know why?
Now we can be together forever,
Marcus said. He looked at his parents and his big brother Caleb.
That's right. In the temple, we seal families forever.
He looked at Caleb. He asked,
Do you know how we can do that?
Caleb smiled.
With the priesthood.
That's right. Heavenly Father gives us his power. We use it to bless people in big ways and little ways.
The family knelt down. Caleb was already sealed to his parents. He watched while Marcus was sealed to them, too. The sealing ended. Dad pointed to two mirrors. They faced each other across the room.
How far can you see in that mirror?
He asked. Marcus stood up tall. He saw his family in the mirror. He saw them over and over again.
Forever and ever, he said.
Our family can be forever, too. Isn't that right, Caleb?
Dad said.
Now you and Marcus can be forever brothers.
Yeah.
Caleb put an arm around Marcus.
I waited a long time for a brother. I want to keep him forever.
The author lives in Idaho, USA. Question for you. How has Heavenly Father blessed your family? End of the story, Forever Brothers. Read by David Shaw, Asher Hawkins, Ethan Nelson, Dason Hawkins, and Rena Nelson.